In this year, and I'd like to think about that tonight. I think about what the Bible says in the book of Joshua. Not preaching there, but I want to use it as an illustration. Joshua 1:1 says this, every place, God said to Joshua, every place where the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. As I said unto Moses. Now keep in mind that Joshua was told to be strong and of good courage. He said, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Moses represented the law, and the law could not bring the people into and possess their promised land. Joshua represents Jesus Christ and grace, and Joshua brought them in. And they were able to defeat the enemy to begin to possess the promised land. And so Israel is God's earthly people, and God uses them to challenge us and to show us what we need. And I'm thinking tonight of Joshua, how he went down into the Jordan River and he came up out of it. And he was able to lead the people down into the river and back up into the promised land. And our Lord Jesus Christ went before us. He went into the grave. He cleaned it out. He made it a pleasant place to wait for the resurrection. And he came up on the other side as a glorified Lord. And now we are alive in him, so that even while we live, we can possess his promises for our lives. And all the promises of God are yea and amen in Jesus Christ. Moses represents the law. The law couldn't do that. But grace through Christ can give you great things in this new year. And so I want to challenge you tonight with that. And I want to say this, though. Even though Israel was promised every foot of the promised land, yet often Israel failed to actually take possession of their land that was promised to them. Remember that the Bible says that that only under David at the end of his reign did they possess the promised land that God had promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Only through Solomon's reign did they possess it for a brief time. And oftentimes, even under Joshua, even under the great Joshua who represents Christ, they failed to possess their promised land and let the Canaanites take the land and hold the land. And I'd like you to notice the failure of the southern tribe of Judah. Here's what it says. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Judah according to their families. Joshua 15:20. And then it says in 15:63, as for the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the children of Judah could not drive them out. But the Jebusites dwell with the children of Judah at Jerusalem unto this day. Joshua 15:63. Now, thankfully, under David, they did drive them out, didn't they? And I believe we do not live up to all that God would have us to live up to. We do not get all God wants us to get. Why? Because we are not forging forward to take the land. We're not going forward in faith to take the land. That was the southern kingdom. Then the northern kingdom of Ephraim and Manasseh, it says, and they drave not out the Canaanites that dwell in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwell among the Ephraimites unto this day, that's in Joshua's day, and serve under tribute. Joshua 16:10. Later it says, yet the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities, but the Canaanites dwell in that land. Joshua 17, verse 12. So I'm saying tonight, as we are into the new year, that the tendency of the people of God called Israel was not to take possession of their promised land, not to drive out the enemy and to get all that God had given them. And is it not true of you? as a child of God that there is that tendency not to drive out the habits of sin that root themselves into your mortal body experience. Not to take what God wants you to take, and there's a tendency for you to compromise with the sinful desires that are operating in your body, to feed the sinful desires that are operating in your mortal body. And the Bible says, abstain from fleshly lusts, which do what? War against your soul. They keep you from going forward. They keep you from answered prayer. They keep you from possessing the promises that God has purchased for you in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God uses men of God like David to get the Judites to possess the Jebusites' land and the city of Jerusalem. What a blessing that was. And I would like to challenge you tonight to do the same thing. In fact, tonight I want to preach on possess more of your promised land this year. Possess more of your personal promised land this year. I believe that many of you, listen to me, are not living up to your potential in Christ. You're not enjoying the blessings that God has for you in Jesus Christ, but there's no reason for it. You can possess it. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. The fact is, we will not do it, and that's why we don't have it. Possess more of your promised land this year and follow the example of Israel and go against that. It says in 1 Corinthians 10:11, now all these things happen unto them, Israel, for examples. And they are written for our examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. You can benefit from this, and I believe you and I can possess more of the promises of God in Christ this year if we will do these things. And I'd like you to turn to Philippians chapter 3 for the teaching on this. And you say, how can I possess more of my promised land this year? And I want you to look at chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. I'll read it, and you follow. Verse 10 says this, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now listen, you can do this by making your goal Christ in glory. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying here. Christ needs to be your goal. You need to fix your eyes on Jesus, you see, the author and finisher of your faith. And you need to see what he did for you so that he died on that cross for your sin. But wait a minute, you died with him unto the rule and realm and reign of sin over your life. He was buried. And you were buried with him, which means that proves that you are dead. Your old man, what you were born with in Adam, is dead. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. Jordan mentioned his baptism when he got baptized. Notice he went under the water. And then he came up out of the water. That pictures that when Christ died, Jordan, as far as what he was born in Adam, died with Christ. The moment he believed on Christ. And baptism pictures that. He was buried with Christ as far as his old life is concerned. He has a new life in Christ. And so when somebody would say to Jordan, come to a booze party with us, and text him on his phone, he could text them back and say, sorry, can't come, I'm dead. I'm dead. And it's true. It's true, you see. And we need to reckon on that. We need to rely on that fact. When the enemy comes in, like we had the choir sing, and says, you need to do this or you need to do that, you could say, wait a minute, I'm dead. I'm buried. And I'm alive in another realm. And that's what the Israelites had, and they had that promise to them, and you have that promise. And it says here that I may know him. You're alive so that you can actually get to know Jesus. You can know him, and you can enjoy close communion with him. What's better than that? What's greater than that? I mean, heaven, you can get sick of the gates of pearl. You can get sick of walking on the streets of gold. But you'll never get sick of getting to know Jesus Christ and growing in your knowledge of Jesus Christ. That goes on in heaven. When you see him face to face, you still get to know him more and more. But it can start right now. It can start right now, beloved, and you can get to know him better. So this year, I want to challenge you, based on your death with Christ, your burial, your resurrection with Christ, set it as a goal to get to know him better, to get to be more like him this year, according to Philippians 3:10. And then notice what it says in verse 11. It says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. What is that talking about? If any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Well, you know, when Christ died and was buried and he rose again, you see, he is glorified, he is perfect, he is wonderfully perfect. Now, you cannot attain to that. This year. It's impossible to do that. But wait a minute. Spiritually speaking, you can seek to be like you will be when Christ comes back and you are glorified with him and you're face to face with him. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor? I can't live that perfect life. Yeah, you will not be sinlessly perfect, but what's wrong with shooting for it? That's what the Bible says. In fact, the Bible says in 1 John, he makes this comment, chapter 2, verse 1, the Apostle John, he said, my little children, these things write I unto you that ye what? Sin not. Then he says, if you sin, Jesus is there to advocate for you. You see, some people, you're just planning to fail. Oh, I failed last year, I'm going to do it again this year. I did this sin last year quite a bit. I'm going to keep doing it again this year. Wait a minute. No, turn the page. If any man sin, we have an advocate. We don't plan to sin. We plan not to sin. The Bible even says in Romans 13:14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Don't plan on it. Some of you may have it in your mind. Well, I want to have that little pleasure in sin. I'm going to plan on it. I'm going to feed that little monkey on my back, you know, called the sinful nature, called my sinful desires. We all have that, don't we? We all have that old nature. We all have those sinful desires. But listen, you're not to feed that. You're not to feed that. Maybe you need to put covenant with your eyes on your cell phone. But you're not to feed that. You're just not to feed it. Whatever it takes to break up the links in the chain of sin. You know what leads you into sin. You know the step. You know when you sin and where you sin and how you sin. It becomes a pattern in your life and you keep on doing it. You know what the definition of insanity is. To keep doing the same thing you did last year and expecting different results this year. It ain't happening, beloved. It's time to break out of that. It's time to say, I want to know Christ. I want to get to know him better. I have the provision of the promised land, and I want to possess more of that this year. But you can't do it when you're feeding that monkey of the flesh on your back, because as I've said before, you find out that monkey is actually not a monkey. It's a baby gorilla. And it keeps growing as you feed it. And pretty soon it gets real big and just strangles you. And that's what can happen to your spiritual life. You can get chastened.
Right.
You can lose ministries. God will have to take them away from you. You're the man of God. You'll have to be told, take it away. You can lose it because you want to keep feeding that flesh and keep on doing it. And the opportunity is there to put that behind and to starve it, to strangle it, to kill it, and not to feed it, beloved. Sometimes we just kind of think we'll coexist with this and, you know, kind of just give into it. And that's why I like to be around people that challenge me that they don't do that so much. They don't do that. They always feed the new man. That's why I like to hang around with friends that challenge me to go to higher ground, to feed that new man. And it says here in the Old Testament, in Joshua, that the people of Ephraim, they told Joshua they needed more land. They wanted to possess more land. They said, Joshua, you didn't give us a big enough inheritance. He said, wait a minute. You know, I did give you. You're my tribe. I gave you a great inheritance. But wait a minute. How about the mountain land? You need to go up on the mountain land and cut down the trees up there, and then you can plant crops and possess the high ground. But you're not willing to go cut the trees down because it's too much for you. You want more land easy to get. No, take the challenges that God's given you. And then he said, go down the valley, that where the mountain ends and the valley comes out. And it's real nice farmland. But the problem is, who was there? The Canaanites were there with chariots of iron. And the Israelites said, the Ephraimites said, no, we can't fight these guys. And Joshua said, oh, yes, you can. God will bless you. Go to war with them. And I believe God is challenging you, and he's challenging me that we need to make our goal to go forward like Christ in glory. Make your goal this year to be Christ in glory. Possess more of your promises. But secondly, possess more of the promised land by forgetting your past to focus on your future. Amen. And I'm going to read verse 13. You follow and look at it. It says there, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. In other words, he says, you need to go forward and you need to forget your failures. Now, by forgetting your failure, I don't mean just put it out of your mind that you failed. I don't mean that, but I do mean don't let your failures keep you from going back up and going forward. You get back up on your feet. The Bible says the righteous man falls seven times and rises up again. When you fall, you don't plan to fall if you're walking like you should, but when you fall, you learn from it, you get back up, and you determine, I'm not going to do that again. I'm not going to do that again. I'm going to keep going. And you keep your eyes on Jesus. I remember when I was taking driver's training, I was in a school called Godwin Heights High School, the home of the Fighting Wolverines. And I remember being in that school, and we had a lot of cars. That school had a lot of good cars, had a lot of good tax money that paid for that. And we would be, when we turned 15, we could take driver's training. And we'd get a driver's permit at 15, and we went out with Mr. Rhodes. He was my teacher, and I remember driving. I had a great time in driver's training. I really enjoyed it. I passed the course, so don't mock me in my driving. I did really good, never got in an accident, never had a problem. And I was a good driver. I did everything Mr. Rhodes said until he left. But then I remember a guy named Colin Chaffee. He was in my car, and he was a guy. And I remember Colin Chaffee. We were coming off of whatever that interstate is there, 131 in Michigan. He was coming off that, and he hit that guardrail. And I'm in the back seat. He kept hitting that guardrail, and he was shaking like a leaf. He was so scared. And Mr. Rhodes said, okay. And he thought Mr. Rhodes was going to drive or have me drive, because we could still drive the car back to the shop. But he said, no, Colin, get back in that car and drive that car. What? Get back in that car and drive that car. And Colin Chaffee, got back in that car. Mr. Rhodes was a good teacher. You know what? That's what the Lord Jesus Christ does with us. Right. He says, you messed up. You hurt other people. you've messed up in your life. Now you've got consequences of that sin. You're going to feel that consequence. You've messed up, but get back on your feet. Get back up. Get back up again and keep your eyes on me and drive and go forward. Forget the failures in that sense, you see. Don't let them keep you down and beat yourself and beat yourself. That's not going to help you get back up again. No, you got to look to Christ to get back up again. And perhaps you have to accept some consequences that come from sin, but don't let it stop you from going forward. And then, not only that, but I want to say forget your victories too. Sometimes your victories can make you look back and feel self-satisfied, like you need to forget those victories. I told you about my father-in-law. He built a multi-million dollar business in today's terms in South Florida, aluminum. And he would sell aluminum products. And when he would sell these products for his company, produced them and they manufactured them. He sold them and they manufactured them. He would get a big sale. He had great sales, and he opened up a place called Arrowhead and built all their screen rooms, which was a big development in Florida, and it put my wife through college. And but as soon as he would get that great victory, he would go into a restaurant, get a cup of coffee, and settle down and savor the victory for a few minutes, and then forget about it and get hungry all over again that I need to do something great. I think of Michigan, the University of Michigan, won the national championship, NCAA national championship. No small accomplishment. But last year, you know, they came close and got in the Final Four, but they lost a game they should have won. And the leaders of the team said, "We'll not forget that. We've got unfinished business. We're not going to the pros. We're going back, and we're going to come back to Michigan, and we're going to win a national championship." And they had that focus, listen to me, all year, even when they beat Ohio State in the Big Ten, even when they beat Iowa in the championship there for the two divisions of the Big Ten, even when they beat Alabama, it was still not over. In the Rose Bowl, they had to have, because they focused on it. What are you focusing on? Oh, I just want to do a little bit less than I did last year. I want to just do this. No, I have no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. You say, but that involves work. That involves struggle. Well, listen to me. If you're not up for the struggle, pray and go home to heaven. We're here to struggle. We're here to fight and to win. And when you lose that, you see, you've lost it. If I didn't have that in the pulpit, I'd get out of the pulpit. I want to have it, beloved. And Joshua had it. And our Lord and Savior has it. And what he's saying is you need to possess more of your promised land by making your focus Christ in glory and following that. And by forgetting your past to focus on your future. And that's what he says in verse 14. He says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Do you know you're called to a high calling? Do you know that you can go farther than you've gone? You can go higher than you've gone? You have that opportunity, beloved. And some of you, you look back at better times in your life, when you were closer to God, when you were doing more for God. You ought not to do that. You ought to build on what you've learned and go to that higher ground. And so I want to challenge you that to forget your past, to focus on your future, and praise the Lord for that. Now, don't be looking back to the past. Lot's wife was looking back to Sodom, and she thought about her daughters in Sodom. She thought about her family in Sodom that wouldn't follow Lot, wouldn't go with the angels out of Sodom. And her heart was there in Sodom, and she was just looking back. Some of you, I fear, you're looking back too much. You're thinking of your past and what you're leaving. And if you're looking back, you can't go forward. You're not fit for the kingdom of heaven, the Bible says. Right. And you have to remember, Lot's wife, she just had one nature. You know what it was? An old nature. She wasn't even born again. And so she couldn't look forward to the Lord. But if you are born again, you have a new nature. Amen. You can feed that new nature. It's your decision, though. What are you going to feed? Are you going to nurse grudges and nurse bitterness and be unforgiving and that kind of a person? That's feeding your old nature. Or are you going to be forgiving and moving forward? That's being like Christ. That's feeding the new nature. Don't be like Lot's wife. You don't need to be if you are born again. And the Bible even says, Jesus said, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth. That's what Lot's wife did. Where moth and rust doth not corrupt, and where thieves break not through and steal. He says, lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves don't break through and steal. You see, you can lay up treasures that are going to last. Now, I want to be a good steward of my money. I want to take good care of money and all that. But listen, our whole economy could crash. Do you know the globalists plan in September to put us under a central bank digital currency so they can control all buying and selling? And since 2019, they are right on target to do exactly what they need to do to accomplish that. And they want to do it right before the election, and they're moving forward with it. Biden has helped it with the executive order that moves. You can research it. If that happens, guess what? You can't travel unless you go along with their system of this digital currency. You can't travel. They can take away your house. Because you say, how can they take away my house? You can't pay taxes unless you follow that system. You can't pay your taxes. You say, could that happen? Read your Bible. Eventually it's going to happen. Amen? You know that. And even if God gives us a delay, we know that we're not going to live forever, right? We can't take it with us. So start being a wise investor. Look for your treasures to be invested this year and lay up more in the bank of heaven. Put more and more into that bank. And people need to wise up this year and to forget the past and to go forward and even put treasures in heaven. And that's what I want to do this year. I want to put more and more treasures in heaven, and I want to go forward. And where it says in verse number 14, let me read it again. He says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want to go forward in my sanctification, my personal holiness. I want to go forward in my soul winning and so forth and so on. How about you? One more thing. Possess more of your promised land by making your focus Christ in glory, by forgetting your past to focus on your future, and number three, by your forward progress outlook. Look at first of all, verse 15 of chapter 3, it says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect or mature, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. In other words, if you're a mature Christian, have this mentality, I am going to keep on going forward. I'm going to possess more of my promised land. I'm not going to follow Israel, who let the enemy just live side by side with God's people and take their land and take their blessings and not drive them out. I'm not going to be that way. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. And that shows that you have a mature attitude. But if you don't do that, it says God will reveal that to you. In other words, God will show you that. And then you need to do what it says in verse 16. Look what it says. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. In other words, you've got a certain level of growth. Don't give it up and go backward. Don't backslide. Stay where you are. If you've been tithing, keep on tithing. If you've been given faith, promise, giving, keep on doing it. If you've been involved in soul winning, keep on soul winning. If you've been coming to church three times, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday, keep on doing that. Don't backslide and give up the ground that you already have. But not only that, press forward to get to higher ground. Our church needs to press forward from two buses. We had one bus and the other was just for big days. And then we got into two buses at the end of the year. But now we want to go to three buses. We've had 10 Sunday school classes. We want 11 and 12. But what does that mean on your part? You have to grow. Because if we have that opportunity and you're not spiritually ready for it, you're not going to be able to take advantage of that opportunity. I don't want to have an old person's mentality. You know what an old mentality is? Well, I've already done it all. I don't want to go any farther. I want to go easier. Well, listen to me. Your body may not be able to do as much as it did before. But with your experience and your maturity, you can do more than a young person can do. That may have more energy because you got more wisdom. If you're willing to use it. And you can help those young people. Thank God for men of God like Jack Hiles, who challenged me in his 70s when I was a younger man to go and to follow that example. And we as a church need to do that. And you can do that if you'll make that decision to have a forward progress outlook. Not giving up. If you made promises to God in tithes and offerings, keep it up. But increase it. Keep it up in soul winning, but increase it. And I've been having that before my mind. And today I went to the marketplace and got an opportunity to find a man. I saw him sitting there. I talked to him. I sat right down next to him in the food court. And we talked and he gave me his history. And I got to talk to this guy. A very interesting man. His wife was up doing something and I could tell it. So I said, I'll talk to you while you're waiting for your wife. And he was ready to talk. And he was an interesting man. He'd made a fortune. And he bought a bunch of land in Newfoundland. And he has chickens and cattle. And it's just an interesting individual. Been married for 61 years. And amazing, in good shape. And I talked to this man and asked him the two spiritual questions. And we got into it. And he wanted to talk to me. Then I brought the track out with a QR code. And I showed. He said, well, you're a pastor. You know all this. I don't need to say anything to you about it. And I was glad because now I could give him the gospel. And I gave him the gospel. And right there in the mall, he prayed to receive Christ as his Savior. You see? But if I didn't have that before my mind and heart, my goals, to do more this year than last year, I would have let that opportunity slide by. You have to focus and set goals. And have a forward progress outlook. And God will open doors for you. And you will lay up treasures in heaven. And so I want to challenge you tonight to possess more of your promised land this year. Number one, by making your focus Christ. And Christ in glory. And being like Him. And getting to know Him. Number two, by forgetting your past. Failures and successes. To focus on your future and getting hungry to win. And number three, by your forward progress outlook, not backsliding from where you've been, staying with it and building on it and going to that next level. Jordan mentioned getting baptized and now he's in church on a Wednesday night. Thank God for that. And thank God for the right kind of friends like Isaac that will encourage you. I sought that as a young man and I had those kind of friends. And they encouraged me and they helped. And then having a church family where you're going to be encouraged. I wouldn't go to a church where a preacher didn't challenge me from the Word of God to go to that next level. And there are preachers, they preach it, but they don't do it. That's no good either. You got to do it and preach it. Do it first, then you preach it. That's what the Bible says. May God help you to do it, right, Bobby? And go to that next level. Thank God. All right, let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. First of all,